bottom end of a single leader above. This whole process takes only a few thousandths of a second, but that's enough time to sculpt beautiful and complex lightning bolts. This moment of science comes from Indiana University, with production support from the Office of the Provost. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom, with help from Stephen Gervin. We're on the web at amomentofscience.org. I'm Don Glass.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Prairie Ensemble, presenting The Deconstructed Orchestra at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 24th at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. The eclectic program will include a guest appearance by bandoneon virtuoso Julian Lebrow in music by Astor Piazzolla. Ticket information is at prairieensemble.org.
It's 2:41. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Let's find out what's happening today in the world of sports. The Butkus Award for the top linebacker in college football could go to a player who is not expected to make it onto the field this season. Boston College's Mark Herzlich was among the 16 semifinalists announced today. Herzlich is out for the season while recovering from a rare form of cancer called Ewing's sarcoma. He has helped raise more than $80,000 for research and education about the disease. Award namesake Dick Butkus noted that the honor is also designed to remind the players, in Butkus's words, that they have a responsibility to serve as role models and to give back to society. Herzlich says his recovery is nearly complete. He hopes to begin full workouts in December, and he plans to play next season. The Fighting Illini try to snap a three-game losing streak tomorrow at Indiana. The Illini have won two straight against the Hoosiers, and 12 of the last 17 in the series. Kickoff is 6 p.m. Central Time. Northwestern has a Big Ten road game at Michigan State tomorrow. The college football schedule also includes Northern Illinois at Toledo, Illinois State hosting Indiana State, and Southern Illinois at Northern Iowa. Eastern Illinois is home against Tennessee Tech, and Missouri State is at Western Illinois. The Chicago Bulls are home tonight. They have a preseason game with the Minnesota Timberwolves at the United Center. Philadelphia grabbed a 1-0 lead in the National League Championship Series with a hard-fought 8-6 win over the Dodgers in Los Angeles. That's where they'll play game number two of the best-of-seven showdown for the pennant a little bit later this afternoon. In game one of the American League Championship Series between the Yankees and the LA Angels is scheduled for this evening in New York, where rain showers are in the forecast with the temperature in the 40s. That's sports.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the incomparable Marvin Hamlisch and Michael Feinstein on October 23rd. More information on this event is at krannertcenter.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. Mike Sola is with me this afternoon for the next half hour or so, here to ask you to join us as a member of the Friends of WILL. This is our fall membership campaign. We're hoping to hear from 300 new friends during this drive and raise $200,000. If it's time perhaps for you as a current friend to renew, it's also a great time to do that with a telephone call to 244-9455, 244-WILL. You know, in the last few minutes here, we've talked about the weather. We've talked about lightning.
Yes.
A moment of science. And the forecast for the game tonight, or the game this afternoon in New York, is rain.
Yes, and very cold temperatures. Not exactly baseball weather when you're talking about 40 degrees. I played a little baseball in my life, and there is nothing you hate to do more than hit a ball when the bat and your hands are both freezing cold. And I've never faced a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, so I can't imagine how that stings. But, yes, the weather is important, and if it's important to you, your pledge of support to WILL will ensure that we will continue to bring you the expansive weather coverage we do on WILL.
And we also had a good deal of weather talk during the closing market report here.
The weather is on everyone's mind, and, boy, you know, when I first started here, I learned a valuable lesson that pledge drives, when the weather is great, are sometimes the least successful because people go out and enjoy the weather. Well, there's not too much to enjoy about the weather today. It's gray, it's cold, there's drizzle, there may be a few snowflakes flying around. So people should be inside listening to WILL and, again, pledging their support. And one of the things that I like to point out is, you know, the evolution of broadcasting. You hear a lot of self-promotion, grandstanding by some arenas in the broadcast. But WILL is a public station. It is your voice. And some of those voices are heard on our NPR Favorite Driveway Moments, which is a compilation of stories from the NPR storytellers, the staff members and hosts. They get together, and this is one of the, I believe this is one of the gifts that we have, the NPR Favorite Driveway Moments.
You are so correct. And when you make a pledge of support to WILL Radio at the $80 level or more, we'll say thank you with Favorite Driveway Moments. It's a 2-CD set. Also, you could select for your thank you gift this afternoon, if you join us this afternoon, the Joy of Pickling, 250 flavor-packed recipes for vegetables and more from garden or market. The Favorite Driveway Moments set, you can hear stories on this compilation, like Scott Simon. I believe there's a tale that he told on the air of his 5-year-old daughter, newly in love with ballet.
And that is a sweet story. And some of the other stories from This I Believe and StoryCorps, sitting in the weather office occasionally and hearing some of those stories, and they just touch you. They get to you, and it's hard not to feel just a part of the community when you hear those stories. And again, it's because public broadcasting exists, and public broadcasting can only continue to exist with the support of you, the listener.
StoryCorps, what a wonderful feature of Morning Edition on Friday mornings.
Indeed it is.
You just stop what you're doing, right?
Yes.
Talk about your driveway moment. So great radio has great stories to tell, and StoryCorps is one place where stories are told. This I Believe, This American Life, Weekend Edition, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, The Afternoon Magazine, Focus 580. Lots of great stories.
Just in the selection that we offer on the air would be enough of a return for your gift to WILL. But we also have some other ways of showing our thanks. And one is at the $40 level, the member card. And at the $75, two member cards. And that is that will entitle you to 2-for-1 dining. That one of the new benefits of the member card this year is manufacturer's coupons. So you don't have to spend a night out at a restaurant. You can go to the grocery store. Everybody goes to the grocery store. You can get some of the items, and you can have a nice meal at home. And again, that will help to maybe recoup some of the money that you donate to WILL. And again, it's just another way that we are showing our thanks for your support.
We all want to get the greatest value for the money that we have in our pockets to spend. An investment in WILL pays returns in entertainment, information, news, and weather. Every dollar you invest comes back to you whenever you listen. It also comes back to the community, to everyone who listens. Call 217-244-9455 now with your pledge. 244-WILL. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Thanks. And now we have another story for you. In the capital of India, New Delhi, it costs a fortune to buy a decent home. Those prices are producing family feuds over ownership, and they're also producing cases of people trying to swindle the elderly and parting with their homes. NPR's Philip Reeves has the story of one distinguished Indian woman.
Lotika Sarkar is a tiny woman with large expressive eyes and a long gray pigtail. She's 87. The years are taking their toll. Her memory comes and goes. She hasn't forgotten she was once one of India's most eminent lawyers, a person who played such a pivotal role in campaigning for women's rights that she became known as the mother of feminist jurisprudence. Yet no matter how hard she tries, she can't remember how or why she gave away her home to someone else.
See, at that stage I was so indifferent to everything. And if they said, if they had asked me to sign this as a gift because it was necessary to work it out properly, I must have signed it. I've never denied having signed it.
Sarkar's now living with friends. She thinks about her home every day.
It's a two-storied house. There's the bedroom and a really nice living room. And we had a fireplace. That was one of the things that my husband and I had decided we must have a fireplace. And upstairs again, two rooms.
Sarkar bought the property decades ago with her husband, a prominent journalist who died in 2005. It didn't cost much back then. Things have changed. The house is in the south of India's capital, New Delhi, in an area that's since become very fashionable.
I'm Randeep Chandiok. I am a realtor in the south of Delhi, and I deal in one of the, you could call it the Rolls Royces of all the properties in Delhi.
Chandiok says the change began when India started to open up its economy in the early 90s. The rise in real estate prices has been astonishing, he says.
Well, they've just shot through the roof. It's unbelievable. It's become one of the most expensive places in the world.
We're standing next to a villa. It's quite a reasonable size. It's two stories, and it's typical of the sort of building you'll see around here. How much would you say that costs now?
$5 million plus.
People with modest incomes, including lots of government officials, are now worth a fortune simply because of the value of their homes. As prices have soared, so have battles over ownership. Chandiok says he regularly comes across property feuds.
Oh, yes. Every day.
Sarkar signed away her house 2 years after the death of her husband. This is the man she gave it to.
I'm a person who never does anything wrong.
His name is Nirmal Dondial.
I'm a person who looks after old people. I'm a person who's very different.
Dondial is a senior police official, an inspector general in the Indian state of Bihar. He's sitting in the house where Lotika Sarkar spent most of her life. He says he's been a friend of the Sarkars for years and gestures at some pictures on the sideboard.
See the photographs? See our affection? It is like this. We are bonded.
The photos show him and his son alongside Lotika Sarkar. She's been like a mother to him, he claims.
I did great service to the Sarkars. My wife stayed here for almost 4 years, looking after her. It's not an easy task. And don't tell me that we did it not out of love, but for property. Never. If it were so, there are so many instances in life when one can get whatever one wants, especially being a public servant. But I have never done this.
Lotika Sarkar's made many powerful friends during her high-flying career as a lawyer and professor. Some of them have formed a support group to try to get her house restored to her. They've gone to court and filed a police complaint against Dondial, accusing him of cheating her. They include Dr. Mohan Rao. He remembers first discovering Sarkar had lost her home.
He was shocked. We couldn't believe that she had done this. We couldn't believe it. Actually, most people can't believe it because they say, how could Lotika Sarkar have got herself into such a position, a lawyer of great eminence, who fought for other people's rights all her life?
Rao believes Sarkar was confused when she signed the deed of gift.
Nobody gifts away a house when they're alive in this country. Strangely, not one friend of Lotika Sarkar's or relative of Lotika Sarkar's was there when this transaction took place in the court.
Rao wants India's laws strengthened to include cast-iron measures ensuring that any elderly person who signs away their home is of sound mind. But laws in India are often ignored. The courts are painfully slow. There's corruption in the police and the judiciary. Protecting the elderly is never going to be easy.
Most of the senior citizens of Delhi are asset-rich and cash-poor.
Kapil Kaur is from the charity Help Age India.
They offer themselves as a very, very easy object for crime, particularly related to property.
Help Age India has carried out a survey to find out how many old people in New Delhi are being pressured by greedy and ruthless people who are after their properties.
Just over half of those who took part said they were being harassed or that they knew another elderly person who was. Often it's their own children, sometimes other relatives or tenants, property developers or servants. Kohl says it's hard to know the scale of the problem, as old people are often ashamed to admit to it, especially when it involves their kids.
I would think that less than 10% of the people would actually approach organizations like ours or the institutional system for redress.
Duhundial, the police official, says Sarkar gifted him her house to stop others pressuring her to give them the property. He says the documents were witnessed and went before a registrar. In January, Sarkar went out from the house for lunch with some friends and didn't return. Duhundial alleges those same people have abducted her to try to persuade her to give the property to them in her will. He wants her back in the house, he says, so that his family can continue caring for her.
Frankly, from a criminal aspect, this is a kidnapping. But why it can't be called a kidnapping? Because Mrs. Sarkar is with them and she'll utter and mutter whatever they tell her. She'll utter and mutter whatever they tell her. They say, no, I am on my own. I am here on my free will. So she'll say that I'm on the free will.
Yet Sarkar doesn't seem to need prompting on this issue.
Kidnap? No, certainly not, never. As categorically as you like, nobody has kidnapped me, but lots of people, my friends, have helped me in many ways, and without their help, I don't know where I would have been.
With the help of those friends, Sarkar's embarked on her final legal battle.
I'm determined to get my house back. One thing in my life, I must get my house back.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.
Earth and sky.
We're all very dependent on water, so understanding how much water we have and what the quality of it is a critical aspect for maintaining human well-being.
You're listening to David Mainman, director of the Center for Research in Water Resources at the University of Texas at Austin. He's leading an initiative to help organizations in the U.S. share water data more easily with one another.
How much water is flowing in our streams and rivers? How high is the level of water in our lakes and reservoirs and groundwater systems?
He said environmental organizations often compile this sort of information about water in such different ways that it complicates science research. He added that, right now, scientists can't answer big-picture questions like, how much water is there in the U.S.?
Our water supply systems are dependent on how much water resources that we've got. And unless we keep a track of those, we don't know what the condition of our water system is.
To keep track of the country's water data, Mainman helped establish an online resource called the Quasi-Hydrologic Information System.
We can go to an arbitrary place in the country and say,